From Spark and Anvil and CircuitForge, this is Flow, in Chapter 1 of the CircuitForge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Flo crouched over the workbench with her nose almost touching a copper wire, watching a needle no bigger than an eyelash. She was a river otter, small and quick, her fur the color of warm cream and her paws tipped in copper. She was also, though she was barely 12, an electrician. Pinned to her orange vest was a little meter, and beside it a tiny arrow that glowed and pointed, always pointing, the way the water pointed her family downstream. The needle trembled, then held steady. Flo let out a breath she hadn't known she was holding. "There you are," she whispered to the wire. Nobody else could have heard the electrons inside it. Nobody else could have felt them either. But Flo could read the meter, and the meter told her the truth. 20 thousandths of an ampere, sliding through the copper like a slow, patient river, nobody could see. Most makers who wandered past thought electricity was a kind of magic, a mysterious zap that either happened or didn't. Flo thought that was a shame. To her, it was never a mystery. It was a count. An ampere was just a way of tallying how many electrons rushed past one spot each second, the same way her grandmother had once counted fish. The glowing arrow only showed which way they ran. There was nothing hidden about it once you learned to look.
She had learned to look on the river long before she ever touched a wire. Flo's family were the current watchers of CircuitForge's slow streams, and they had been for as long as anyone remembered. It was not glamorous work. You sat on a cold rock at dawn with a knotted string and you counted how many fish drifted past in a minute, how fast the leaves spun in an eddy, whether the current was quickening or dying. Her grandmother to tell a flood was coming 3 days early just from the way the water leaned against her paw. "Flo is not a thing," her grandmother told her once, when Flo was very small and impatient and wanted the river to be something she could hold. "Flo is a happening. You cannot pick it up. You can only measure how much of it goes by." Flo had sulked about that for a season. She wanted the river to be a treasure she could keep. Instead, her grandmother handed her the knotted string and made her count, morning after morning, until one day the counting stopped feeling like a chore and started feeling like listening. That was the day Flo understood. The river wasn't a thing you owned. It was a thing you watched move, and watching it move was its own kind of having. Years later, the first time she saw a needle twitch on an electric meter, she felt the river all over again. Electrons per second, fish per second. The same idea, wearing much, much smaller clothes.
She walked into CircuitForge the year she turned 12, her grandmother's string still coiled in her pocket for luck. Watt, the old master electrician, met her at the workshop door. He was the sort of mentor who asked one question and listened to the whole answer in the space of a breath. He looked at the copper on her paws and the meter on her vest and said, "What is current?" Flo didn't hesitate. She had been answering this question her whole life. She had just been calling it something else. "Electrons moving through wires," she said, "measured in amperes. It's not a thing you hold. It's a thing you count going by." Watt's whiskers lifted. "You are appointed." Her workshop filled over the seasons with young makers who arrived believing electricity was witchcraft. Flo made it her business to unteach them. "Watch," she said one afternoon to a boy who was half afraid of the battery on the bench. She wired it to a small green LED and clipped her meter into the loop, cutting one wire and letting the meter stand in the gap, so every electron had to pass through it to be counted. The LED woke up, steady and green. 20 milliamps, she said, tapping the display. "That many electrons sliding past this exact spot every single second." She moved a second meter to a wire on the far side of the light and clipped it in too. It read 20 milliamps as well. "See? The same.
all the way around. Electrons don't get used up by the light. They just keep going, all the way home to the battery. It's a loop. What leaves has to come back. Then she flicked a tiny switch. Click. The green light died. Both needles fell to zero. Open loop, she said gently. No path, no flow. It's like lifting a bridge on the river. The water piles up and stops because there's nowhere for it to go. She closed the switch. Click. The light returned and the needles climbed back to 20. The boy laughed, surprised, and reached out to flick the switch himself. Off and on, watching the river appear and vanish at his fingertip. Flo's face went quieter then. She pulled on thick gloves and set a thin wire on a fireproof mat. But sometimes, she said, electrons find a shortcut they shouldn't take. She touched a bare wire straight across the battery, skipping the light entirely. The needle leapt, and the thin wire began faintly to smoke. She broke the connection at once. That's a short circuit. Too many electrons, too fast, and the wire gets hot enough to burn. She held up a small blackened fuse. So we build in a weak link on purpose, one that melts and breaks the loop before anything else can. The fuse gives itself up so the circuit stays safe. She set it down carefully. Safety comes first, always. Even for a river you can't see.
When the workshop had emptied and the light had gone gold, the boy lingered at the door with one last question, quieter than the others. If you can't see it, he said, and you can't hold it, how do you know it's really there? Flo smiled and held her meter out flat on her palm, the little arrow still glowing, still pointing the way home. You feel for it, she said, same as my grandmother felt the river leaning on her paw. You can't catch a current in your hands, but you can watch it move, and you can trust the watching. She closed her fingers softly around the meter. Somewhere behind her ribs, there was a warmth she'd carried since she was small on a cold rock at dawn, the steady, glad certainty of knowing something true that nobody else could see. It settled in her chest and stayed, easy and unhurried, like a river that had finally found its loop and could keep on flowing. Electrons moving through wires, she said, softer now, just for herself, measured in amperes. And the little arrow glowed and pointed home.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to flow. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.